Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. No one's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm so sleepy.
Yeah.
So, you know, coronavirus, working 6 days a week since lockdown, pretty fatigued. Then there was all the speaking out stuff. That was a stressful time for us. I got very tired off the back of that, but I've been plugging away, haven't been thinking about it. And then I finally completed the biggest task of them all on Tuesday night.
What on earth could that possibly be?
The Darker Side of the Moon challenge on Super Mario Odyssey.
Lovely stuff.
So difficult. It took me 4 days of just plugging away at this same kind of speedrunny thing. Mm-hmm. And it just happened for me. Happened for me Tuesday afternoon. And then I just relaxed. It was like someone put their hand on my shoulder, like Gandalf put his hand on my shoulder, or Obi-Wan's ghost, and just said, "Sleep well now, Prince. Sleep well, sweet Prince." And then I asked Laurie, how long did it take you to complete it? And he went, I did that first time. What a dickhead.
He's such a tool, that lad. Absolute tool. I haven't got time for him whatsoever. That's why he's on that Mark podcast for NXT fans. Dumb Marks.
Which you want to listen to today.
Yes, you can do. I'll tell you what, let's dive into the show itself, and then we'll get into the outro portion of this show, because AEW have unveiled a brand new championship. Here is the show.
New title belt has been debuted in AEW. It's not really like a TNT title. It's more akin to WWE's United States Championship reveal on Monday, which makes it seem like AEW has copied WWE in this respect, which is kind of ironic, right? After the last week of Chris Jericho calling out WWE for stealing the whole I versus I match. Actually, Fyter Fest Night 2 was recorded last Thursday, last week. So, you know, you can't really make those arguments, but it's fun to do so anyway. So what happened here was Taz brought back the not FTR belt, as I have said it every time I've mentioned it so far, but his old ECW FTW belt. I'm Ollie Davis. Here's Luke Owen to tell you why that's important.
So, yeah, so that was it's a classic moment from ECW history, to be honest. There might be some of our younger viewers who will have seen this announcement as a bit of a letdown, because I don't know what that belt is. I don't really know or have any affiliate for that, you know, belt, because it was from the 90s, you know, and the 90s were quite a long time ago now. As much as it pains me to say, they were over 20 years ago. That's a long old period of time away. But yeah,
I really rang up the BBC News yesterday when they said that the 7/7 bombings were 15 years ago. Well, that can't be right. It's not 15 years ago.
Oh, but it is, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the FTW belt was Taz's belt there. He sort of introduced because, you know, he was like, I can't get the ECW championship, so I'm bringing in the F the World championship. And it wasn't an officially recognized belt in ECW. It was defended, like Taz would defend it, and other people did win the FTW belt. But it was never like, it was really cool because this is not an officially recognized belt by, and ECW was like the land of hardcore where it was like, oh man, anything could happen here. For even them not to really recognize this as a belt, I thought it was a very, very cool concept. And it's always been Taz's thing. You know, he was FTW. So it's quite, and you know, I don't want to sit on a high horse here, but I did predict this about 3 to 4 weeks ago. Oh, no, it was when they announced that Mox wasn't going to be able to do it. Like when Mox went into self-isolation with himself and Renee Young, we had our morning call and I was like, man, wouldn't it be wicked if Taz came out for a promo and just announced Brian Cage as the FTW champion? And then I think I even said it on this show. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say it, but yeah, I did predict this was going to happen.
Not going to sit there and say it. But I will. You will say it while saying yeah. You won't sit here and say it.
I'm
the best of both worlds.
I'm not going to sit here and say that I am the Nostradamus of wrestling predictions. I'm not going to sit here and say that I am a wrestling genius. But I did predict that this was going to happen. I'm not saying that I'm brilliant or anything though.
You can't get angry with him, folks. He's saying he's not saying it. Yeah, I thought this. You know. When Tony Khan tweeted on Tuesday, oh, Taz and Brian Cage have got a major announcement for the next episode of Dynamite, it's going to send shockwaves through the wrestling industry. My thought was, you don't want to be making these kinds of tweets, Tony. That's, you're going to set expectations too high. You're going to brand multi-year deal it.
And I think that they did set expectations too high for this, because really the people that are going to care most about this, most importantly, Taz, I think Taz would very much care about this, and fans from the 90s, which, you know, in fairness, is actually some of, you know, AEW's big target demographic, people who really like their wrestling history. So it appeals to those. But I think if you were to send shockwaves through the industry, like that would be Roman Reigns debuts. Like that would send shockwaves through the industry. I think Taz bringing back a belt that's not been around for 20 years is not quite as groundbreaking as perhaps Tony Khan's tweets might have suggested.
Yeah, so it was definitely an over promise. But because I kind of went in with my expectations lowered, because I thought that's going to be disappointing if I think it's going to be a genuinely shocking reveal. I was actually pleasantly surprised by this. You did it. You're not going to sit here and say that you predicted this.
No, I'm not. Why would I? That would be very big-headed of me to do so.
Let's make that perfectly clear. Luke is not saying he said this, but he did. Mm-hmm. And it's a cracking idea. I'm glad they've done it. And when Taz brought out the FTW belt, belts are, you know, people do get angry when people describe belts as props. But, you know, spoiler, that is what they are. And that's not a derogatory thing. It's like, that's a pure fact of a predetermined kayfabe wrestling business. Everything is how much you make it feel real, right? Mm. And in that, it is a prop. So what is beautiful about this is they made that FTW championship, at least I felt they did, make it feel really, really important and like a big deal. And it made Taz feel badass. It made Brian Cage more badass. And they are more over now than they were last week. And that's like, that's all you can ask for in wrestling.
I love this act so much. I love Taz and Brian Cage together as a tandem so much that, like, just bringing out this belt that, you know, it's 20 years old or what have you, it has no real relevance or anything like that, made me go like, oh man, this is so awesome. Absolutely love this. And it was Taz's line of like, no company has ever recognized this, but fans do.
Yeah.
Like it's not, this is a belt for actual wrestling fans. They know that this means something. Companies will pretend it's nothing. But us fans, us wrestling fans, recognize this as a real world championship. I think that's pretty badass, to be honest, because that puts him on our side, even though he's the baddie. And he's made this belt feel very, very valuable. I thought it was wicked.
It's not just badass, I would argue. I would say it's a... 'cause no one thinks Brian Cage is going to beat Jon Moxley. And if he does, it's a mistake. But with Brian Cage having this FDW belt now, and you've got that kind of, oh, he's a bit... He is the rebel, he's the anti-hero. To Jon Moxley, who is, you know, far more definitive as an anti-hero there, I think when he loses, he's going to be protected because he's still got this belt. I don't know if that means he's going to defend it around, if it will just disappear after this match, but well, I wouldn't mind that.
I would say that it's probably going to stick around because the program that you're leading into after this is Brian Cage versus Darby Allin. So Darby Allin saying, I won. Not only do I want to beat you, I'm going to take that title belt from you as well. I think really does add much, like, and the you know, feud already had some pretty good stakes to it already because Brian Cage took him out during the Double or Nothing Casino Battle Royale ladder match. That now you've also got a title on the line for it as well, and a title that fans really like. I thought this was really, really cool. Like you, I don't think that Brian Cage is winning next week. But that's okay because he's now got this title belt and I'm really excited. I'm now more into the Brian Cage Darby Allin feud than I would have been 2 weeks ago. I just love this act so much. And I was thinking about this all the way through this show. We were talking about Raw and how we're actually quite like the Bruce Pritchard, Vince McMahon era, even though it is a bit scattergun and it's a bit hotshot and it's a bit like ratings focused. I do think they've actually made some pretty decent episodes of television for the last 3 weeks. I'm just not really invested in the stories at the moment. But with AEW, I feel like I'm invested in every single story that's going on. So I loved this episode. I put my cards on the table. I thought this was a terrific, terrific episode of Dynamite. I realized halfway through it's because I'm so invested in the characters and the stories that they're telling. And none was that more provable than in this, where a manager came out and said, I've created a fake belt and given it to my guy. And I'm like, cool. Can't wait to see what this leads to next week.
FDW.
I totally agree. I thought it was an excellent episode. This is what I wanted night one. Well, at least the second half of night one to be.
Absolutely.
You know, that first hour of night one and this show, that's a bloody good pay-per-view right there. 3 hours of a show. I think that's... That'd be one of the better pay-per-views they've ever done.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought this was a tremendous episode. A very good night for wrestling overall with NXT Great American Bash 2. You can stick around on Wrestle Talk because we've got Laurie and Adam reviewing that show later on as well.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
Before we get on with the super chats, let's do add $25 a month or more Pledge Hammer Patreon shout-outs.
Indeed.
I think I said that right.
You did indeed, yes. And as we revealed exclusively on this show previously, it's going to be me and Adam the Blompier with the Mostlier doing a review of WCPW Built to Destroy 2016, which I watched yesterday.
How was it?
Well, I mean, I can't give away my thoughts now because you'll have to go to our Patreon page to hear myself and Adam reviewing that show and Adam giving, you know, his memories from that show. I enjoyed it. Like, you know, I will certainly say that I enjoyed it. But the main event was very, very fun. And like, you know, Joe Hendry was the best thing on the show.
As usual. But thank you, our Pledge Hammers. You're a wizard. Harry Burgess.
Oh, Harry, he certainly is. The Snapdragon King, Ryu Odonte.
Thank you. The Joy of Painting, Bobby Ross.
Oh, lovely. Very nice. The Anomaly, CJ Warren.
Thank you, CJ. Rob Steiner, Recliner.
Oh, lock it in. Ross, Pooper Scooper Cooper.
Woo! Jack Daniels on the Carl Rocks.
Lovely. Yes, please. Andrew, the Last Airbender, Mussogliano.
Yeah.
Nearly.
Bad connection, Thomas Lagden.
Great pun there. Speaking of, Blompier's number one fan, Tom Delves.
Thank you, Tom. The incredible Tarzo.
And rounding us off today, Jeremy Spoken, Claire Smith.
Thank you, everyone, all so much. But let's get into your super chats to see what you guys thought before we get in with the full play-by-play. Josh DeDominic said that 8-man tag is my match of the pandemic. The spot where FTR lost their minds after the Nick and Phoenix rope spot popped me. Also, Jericho's best AEW match?
I mean, some people might say the Stadium Stampede is Jericho's best match because it was so fun and bonkers. But yeah, I suppose singles matches. I really liked the Moxley match, and I loved the Cody match as well. But yeah, this Cassidy match was really, really good. I thought it was terrific.
I really like the Jungle Boy match.
So,
but you know, I do agree. I think maybe that both of those questions can be answered by Stampede, Stadium Stampede. Austin Tussie, that 8-man was incredible. P.S. It's my birthday. Hey. Happy birthday, Austin.
Birthday, Austin. Yeah, like that 8-man. That was actually, we were debating on what we were going to call this episode of the podcast, whether we want to talk about the FTW championship and what that could possibly mean, or is this the best AEW TV match of the year? I didn't want to say it was AEW's best match of the year because that's still the Revolution tag match, and this was not as good as the Revolution tag match. But then again, like, you know, not much was. But I do think it's the best TV match they've had all year. I thought it was just so, so great.
I loved it. I don't want to be this guy, but I don't think it's top five, but there's quite a few matches I would put ahead of it. But Nate Drop's surname says, a step up, suicide, Canadian destroyer. What a spot. Holy S word. Cannot wait for FTR and Lucha Bros next week. Best tag division ever.
Yeah. I'd say so. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, really, really would. Yeah, it's funny as well. So Adam and I recorded a segment for the Wrestle Talk podcast show on the Fight Network here in the UK that's airing not this Friday, the Friday after. And in that, we were talking about tag teams. And we were talking about, you know, the Lucha Brothers and the Young Bucks and talking about, you know, the great tag teams. And we kind of said, you know, oh, the Canadian Destroyer off a label, off a ladder through a table, or off a label, if you will. And Adam said there was like, I mean, once you've done that, what else is there to do? And then here we are, not 24 hours later, the step up Canadian Destroyer to the outside onto a pile of people. It was bonkers.
Every time I think Phoenix has done the most insane thing he's physically, or anyone for that matter, is physically capable of, he manages to get an extra flip in there the next week. Michael Dominguez, ratings war. Sammy said AEW on TV first, then hung at Money in the Bank.
So I think this might be because you have said that MJF was the first person to bring up the ratings war, but Sammy didn't bring up a ratings war. It was after Double or Nothing, wasn't it? Where he just said, I could see it was the electric chair or whatever that segment was with Corey Graves.
It was Raw's dark third hour where they would change the lighting.
That was it. What is it called? The electric chair?
Yeah.
And he sat there and he was like, I could talk about AEW. Ooh.
So I would argue that was before it was a head-to-head ratings war. That's why I don't consider that as that. I'm talking specifically from AEW and NXT going head-to-head in early October. No one from either company has actually acknowledged publicly that it is a ratings war.
It's either that or Michael Dominguez was just making a joke that Sammy said AEW on television and then got hung for the privilege.
Just one more. Jobber JJ496. Imagine Ray Phoenix's Canadian Destroyer and Darby Allin's coffin drop. Good Lord, AEW's tag division is awesome. Orange Cassidy versus Jericho was just the best.
Really, really great stuff. Yeah, old Darby Allin did quite the big coffin drop on this episode.
I could have done that. It was onto a load of pillows. right, we'll get into all of your super chats later in the show. We'll read out every single one of them, so get them in. And hey, why don't you go and get yourself a Jam That Jam t-shirt as well? And Luke, I don't think I've shown you this yet, but maybe you should have a sip from a Jam That Jam mug.
I have not seen that.
I'm jamming that jam with my jam and my jam. Oh, yeah. There's nothing in this, by the way. It's just a prop. It's the FTW belt of prop. Yeah, you can go over and go to WrestleTalkMerch.com in the video description below. Get your Jam That Jam t-shirt, because everyone who gets a t-shirt will be entered into a prize draw. The winner gets a signed Quizzlemania trophy.
Indeed. And make sure you go over and subscribe to Wrestle Talk Clips. A link for that is the pinned comment in the live chat. Go and subscribe to that. Vinny Shway is doing some amazing clipping out of these portions of the podcast. And tomorrow on the Wrestle Talk podcast, it's me and SP3 from True Heel Heat. We're going to be talking about a topic that has yet to be decided. We might talk about Raw's current ratings failing. We may talk about Riddle, but we're going to be going through your Patreon mailbag questions. So yes, go and subscribe to them as well. Great channel, do some great work, and I'm really looking forward to having him on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, looking forward to that too. So let's start off with the opening match. It was right in, no video packages, no in-ring segments, no real rundown of the card. It was Private Party versus Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. In that, what they did is they just went to the finish. So it was the final finishing sequence for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, and it was, I loved it. So do you want to hear Meltzer's preview of this match in last week's Observer? I wanted to crop it out because it really made me laugh, which is AEW has Omega and Page defending the tag titles against Private Party, which could be out of this world or sloppy or anything in the middle.
Well, you can't come at him now if it isn't any of those things.
He covered all of his bases. And it was, we've said before with Private Party, like sometimes they've got such like very inventive offense, but sometimes it's too inventive that it goes nipples north. But this was one of those times where they had their very inventive offense and it just went smoothly and seamlessly. And I absolutely loved this match. I enjoyed this match more than I did the Best Friends match last week.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, a lot of the drama and stuff here was... it's weird how it was present here, but not in this match that's had a huge storyline. I guess sometimes you can do everything right and it makes sense on paper, but for whatever reason, it just doesn't reach those very high expectations it set for itself.
I just think last week's match needed that extra 10 minutes. I know, like, you know, they went as far as long as TV time they had left, but I do think that's what hurt the match. Whereas this was given, as you said, 10 minutes. And they just started in the final third of the match. And yeah, it was great. I loved it. Really, really good. Just so many times where you're like, oh, I know. Whoa, no, you think they're going to zig and they zag. It was just great.
Yeah, really, really good stuff. And what's very important here is Paige and Omega, just one relatively clean. There weren't a crazy amount of kickouts near the end. It was just boom. The last cool.
Very crucially in this, building off what happened last week as well, where Paige was pinned with the Strong Zero and Omega broke it up. Again, Paige was being pinned here by the Gin and Juice, then Kenny broke it up. So Kenny made the save again. And later on, Kenny was the one who stopped the Gin and Juice attempt before Paige did the powerbomb. So you can make that call again. You can make the argument that it's Omega that is carrying this team, not Hangman Page, even though he might believe he's the one who's carrying the team.
Incredibly good storytelling. This is long-term storytelling. This is like Macho Man, Hulk Hogan, year-long breakup storytelling. It's not, there has to be a big thing every week. You keep them together and apart and weave other elements in and out. Because like there wasn't any mention of Kenny's beer thing with FTR the previous week here. Didn't really get any of that follow-up, but that doesn't mean it's been forgotten. It's just there as this context of this richer tapestry of the story overall.
Absolutely, yeah. And now next week, they've announced that it's the Elite of the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega taking on Jurassic Express. So there again is Kenny off with his mates in the Elite. I know Hangman Page has kind of like seemingly smoothed things over with them after the Stadium Stampede, but how long can that last?
Apparently on this week's Being the Elite, Paige said, look, I'll always respect you guys. Thank you so much for getting me to where I am. I wouldn't be the wrestler I am today without you, but I don't like you. And that's it, isn't it? That's the character trait they've got to lean into, which they are. It's fantastic. It's the best told story since Ciampa and Gargano, really.
Yep, absolutely.
After that, we went straight into Joey Janela taking on Lance Archer. And this was, I love Joey Janela. I love Lance Archer. And even with that, this over-delivered. I just thought it was going to be a straight-up squash. But no, it starts off with Archer coming out with Sonny Kiss's dead body on his shoulders, uses him as a weapon, or them as a weapon. I'm getting my pronouns all mixed up. Uses them as a weapon against Joey Janela. And you think, okay, Archer's just going to beat him now. But no, they had an actually really well-booked back and forth.
Yeah, went through an ad break and everything. Like you, I was expecting this to go shorter than it did. It went way longer than I expected, but it was much better because of that. And you didn't need to have Lance doing a squash match here because you had Nyla Rose doing that later on. So this was really, really well booked for this show that it was on. And you had so much in this as well, to the point where I even thought that Joey might pick up the win, because you had this moment when Jake accidentally, he's like, talking to the referee, which has accidentally then distracted the referee from Joey Janela hitting this elbow drop and Sonny Kiss, doing a 450 for a great, great near fall. And then Lance, super pissed off, picks up Joey Janela and hits a blackout from the top rope through a table that's on the floor.
Excellent finish. And really, really good match. Joey looks great. Sonny's continuing to get over. They look great. And Archer, fantastic. So I can't wait for the next proper meaty program he has.
Yeah.
Then we got the Darby Allin clip we've already spoken about. Then we got the Taz and Brian Cage FTW bit, not FTR, nearly said it again. And then we got what Luke reckons is the best TV match in AEW of the year.
Yeah. I mean, you said it's top five, but
Nick Jackson and Rey Fénix was this year.
Was that this year?
I'm pretty sure. You.
I thought that was last year. I thought it was like last November or something. I'm willing to be wrong on that because I mean, honestly, you could have said it was in February and I still would have thought that was last year.
Oh, no. It was the 20th of November.
Damn it.
Nailed it. Bollocks. All right. Maybe it's top four. Maybe this match is top four now.
I'm not going to say I was right. I'm just not going to say I was right because that would be really big-headed of me. But yeah, this was Butcher and Blade teaming with the Lucha Brothers to take on FTR and the Young Bucks. Man, it really feels like it's been ages since we've seen the Young Bucks on TV. I don't know if that's right, but it feels like it's been ages since we've seen them in a match.
Yeah, well, we see them a lot, don't we?
Yeah.
But actually wrestling in the ring, it's quite rare. I think they wrestled 3 weeks ago on Dynamite in the opener.
Yeah, and I think they've done stuff on Dark as well, because I think they had a match against Peter Avalon and Brandon Cutler. But yeah, this was just... do you know what this featured? There was a triple threat tag match a few years ago in NXT with The Revival and Johnny Gargano and Ciampa. And AOP.
Yes.
And Gargano, Ciampa, and Revival had this sort of like incredible feud between the two of them that led to Gargano and Ciampa picking up the belts, DIY picking up the belts for the first time. And there's a moment during that triple threat match where the teams work together to take out the bigger AOP, including them doing the meet in the middle finish, but it's like one member from DIY and one member of the Revival, and one member from DIY and one member of the Revival doing the Shatter Machine. And we got that in this match with FTR and the Young Bucks. And I've written here, they work together to do all the moves, and it's everything I've ever wanted.
I thought exactly the same. I didn't get a chance to go into it in my video review earlier. But yeah, what a great way to take that story. And it's an interesting out-of-order approach because, you know, when DIY and the Revival did that in NXT, it was at the end of a long, big feud. But here, they're using that dynamic to almost start and cultivate this rivalry. And I I'll skip to the end because I do want to talk about the post-match because I think it's really important with overall. It's Matt Jackson accidentally kicks Dax?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
I still can't get Dax and Cash right. Because they've changed their names. But he super kicks Dax by accident, and that's what leads to Matt Jackson getting pinned. Now, any other tag match feud, they would sort of get in each other's faces afterwards. There was none of that. Because FTR were like, obviously a mistake. And us as viewers at home are like, well, it's obviously a mistake. And it is frustrating sometimes when the wrestlers combust because of what is quite clearly friendly fire. So to see that not then spark, that would have been very lazy, I think, to use that to spark a bigger feud between them and for them to just like shake hands in the ring afterwards.
Yeah.
I love that understatement.
Because the key to that is they were working as a well-oiled shadow machine leading up to that moment. Like they were a perfect 8-man tag group. Like, well, you know, 4 men, whatever. Like they were perfect foursome. They were working. Like, there was that moment when they all just tagged in each other at the, you know, in sequence, so they could hit that superplex and the splash by Cash, and then the Nick Jackson's Shooting Star Press or 450 or whatever it was. So they were working together as a well-oiled machine. It was just one errant kick is what led to their downfall, and then Lucha Brothers hit the Lucha Driver on Matt to get the win. It was one mistake that led to their downfall. Amazing scenes. I wouldn't have predicted that was going to be the finish either. And I thought it was all the better because of it. I thought it was so, so great.
And we could talk about this match for a long, long time, I think, because we've only really covered one half of the ring. What we haven't spoken about is Rey Fénix is back, everybody, and he can fly. He can literally fly. He has the superpower of flight.
Yeah, and Penta's amazing as well. I thought Butcher and Blade looked really good in this, particularly the Butcher. Like, they were, you know, they were the third wheel of the match, if you will. But I thought they were still, like, really, really good. They were elevated by the other teams that were in the ring with them. Man, have I missed the Lucha Brothers. Like, as you, like, you know, obviously Penta because he's so good, but man, Fénix was just otherworldly. When he does his little like 619 thing and then steps back in and does his big whipping like kick, he makes, I mean, Randy Orton can make fun of the leg slap all he wants. Rey Fénix does an incredible leg slap and I love it.
Yeah. And Nick Jackson and Rey Fénix just had a little tangle when they were in the ring together. Get up to the top rope like it's nothing. Hurricane Rana off of that. Shades of that November match. I just incredible stuff. And I genuinely, it was like Pentagon gets in the ring and Dax is in there too. And it took a few seconds for me to go, is this happening? Like, it's very rare these days that that kind of that feeling sneaks up on you where you're like, this is actually happening. Pentagon and Scott Dawson are in the ring and they're about to wrestle. And it really, like, I'm marked out.
Yeah.
I'm marked out in quite a pure sense.
I mean, there's a quite an easy way to, if you ever read my notes, there's a good way to know when I mark out. And it's when all of a sudden, my notes go into caps. I just hit the caps key and I just start typing like, they're working together. Or as I've got here, oh my effing God, Fénix just did a Canadian destroyer onto everyone on the outside. Mm. And it was that moment when it was, Dax Harwood and Pentagon Jr. away against each other in the ring. And they're having a match next week. Lucha Brothers versus FTR. Oh, it's a spicy meatball and I cannot wait. So, so great. I also loved as well. There were so many spots in this that I loved. But in the FTR and Young Bucks working together, them doing the assisted pile driver, but Cash Wheeler gets taken out. So Nick Jackson does it to help out, but he does a Meltzer driver variation. Nice attention to detail there, Nick.
And also, just sort of separate to all the action in the ring, who was shown watching in the stands? But Tully Blanchard and Sean Spears. And, you know, I think we all want it. I think we all want this FTR, Sean Spears, Cody Rhodes, Four Horsemen.
Oh, yeah. I'm really, like, someone mentioned it in a super chat a little while back. And I thought, I think I want to see FTR on their own. Like, I just want to see. But, you know, the more I think about it, the more that person was 100% correct. And I really, really want to see that team. Yeah, Cody, FTR, Sean Spears with Arn and Tully. Oh, it would be good, mate.
Yeah. If we can't have Jim Cornette with FTR, this is the next best thing.
Yeah.
After that, we Jim Cornette is never working for AEW. After that, we got Big Swole trying to enter the stadium, the Daily's place. And someone says, sorry, you're served. You can't come in here because of Britt Baker.
Yeah. And Britt Baker's done it. And Big Swole was very upset because she drove 3.5 hours to get to that point. So, yeah. And Tony Khan has confirmed on Twitter as well that she has been suspended for kidnapping and harassment. But also, interestingly, in that, he did talk about how they're going to be searching for new women to join the roster because now they've lost Chris Statlander and Britt Baker and now Big Swole being storyline suspended.
Mm. Why did they do that then? if they're running out of women. Let's do a kayfabe suspension of someone else.
Let's get rid of more of them.
Like, AEW's women's division. Week before the Penelope Ford Shida match, really good. And it kind of makes you forget how overall, how, you know, not as well treated that and portrayed that division has been compared to everything else AEW has been. But then when, you know, when you see what WWE are doing on the main roster and you're like, well, this is how the women's division should be presented. It's not like I can't sit here and go, oh, you've got all these circumstances preventing more women from wrestling from you. Everyone has right now, actually, and they're doing a much better job with their division than you are.
To play devil's advocate and come on to the defense on this ever so slightly, I'm going to use the Iconics Ruby Riott's Liv Morgan arguments that we've had over the last couple of weeks, which has the, it's not great, but at least it's a story. Like, at least the Iconics are in a story, and at least Ruby Riott is in a story since coming back. So Big Swole and Britt Baker, I think they've been doing quite a solid job of building that match, bearing in mind we can't get it until All Out. So I think that, you know, just doing this as a way to elongate the story to build to their match at All Out, I think that's perfectly fine. And then you had Nyla Rose in doing the squash match here, and afterwards, like she says, you beat Kenzie Page and Kylie King or something, beat them very, very quickly, powerbombed into each other, and then cut a promo saying that so many wrestlers in the back have got managers, so she's going to get herself a manager. Not going to tell us who it is, but managers leads to championships. Cody's got a championship. Brian Cage has got a championship. And they showed in the audience Shida holding her title and Penelope Ford on the other side as well. So there's quite a few little spinning plates there. And yeah, to use that iconic, at least it's a storyline. It's maybe one I'm not hugely, but I'm quite intrigued by the Nyla Rose thing. It's a step in the right direction. Still nowhere near as good as Raw. Or, you know, to a lesser degree, SmackDown, but still nowhere near as good as Raw. But at least it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying steps in the right direction for 9 months, so yeah. I need more now for me, at least.
You need an actual step.
Yes, but the Nyla Rose getting a manager thing is really quite exciting. I think she can talk relatively well, but she is a character that works better without talking. So I think it should have happened sooner, really, packaging her with a manager.
Can I make a prediction?
Well, yeah, I was going to say Vicky Guerrero, I've seen floated around as a potential. I don't think so. I would like to see her with Taz.
Oh, whoa. I was going to go slightly similar with Jazz, former ECW star and WWE's former, I think she was a women's champion in WWE. Mm. But yeah, but she was like this really cool brick S house wrestler who I never really thought got a fair shake. She was like, she was in the wrong place at the wrong time, really. Like, she did some really great stuff in ECW, then went to WWE where they weren't doing women's wrestling, you know, weren't taking it seriously. But she was always had a really cool presence about her. So yeah, and I just think it wouldn't surprise me for AEW to bring out someone like Jazz, who has got name recognition amongst those hardcore fans. So yeah, I could certainly see it being Jazz, but that again, that's just a bold prediction on my part.
Yeah. Well, everyone else getting your suggestions on the super chats. After that, we got the pre-match angle for the Dark Order and Colt Cabana, but really, he's in the Dark Order, isn't he? Versus SCU, which had Cabana laying on a medic's table and the medic's addressing the camera saying, yeah, this is bad, but we're going to clear him for action. And you can see this awful, like, bruise down the side of Colt Cabana's rib cage.
Yep.
And that's legit.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. But yeah, people have gone on record to say that is a legit injury that Colt Cabana has got. Like this huge, yeah, it was a massive bruise as well. Looked like it hurt like a son bitch, but he went out there and he still did his match.
Yeah. But Brody Lee here was fantastic. Sort of the way he stood in the medic room saying, well, you'll still compete. And then when they're in the ring, like he's not tagging in, he's letting Colt do some of the work. And it's kind of, I got undertones of, you know, whoever Mr. Brody Lee is based on, that sort of mentality that you have to work through injuries.
Mm. Oh, okay. That was interesting. Yeah.
A reading, a layer that might not have been intentional, but certainly came across.
He did say, you know, if you're in the Dark Order, these sorts of accidents won't happen, but I do expect you to see you out there in the ring. So yeah, I mean, I didn't pick up on that, but I certainly don't think you're wrong to make those. I mean, it's not based on Vince McMahon, you know.
Mr.
Brody Lee's been very clear about that. Like, how could anyone look at that character and think that it's a Vince McMahon parody?
It's quite obviously from Luke Harper, Brody Lee's past, love of gangster movies.
Yeah, absolutely. On that note, have you seen Colt Cabana's new t-shirt?
Yes. Look at that.
Where it's got Colt Cabana, but the top of the O is shattered a little bit. So it looks like it says Colt Cabana. And Colt's tweet about it really made me laugh. Where it's like, I've been assured by Evil Uno that this does say Colt Cabana and nothing else. For that reason, I'm happy for you to purchase it at AEWshop.com.
Could you pop that image back up? Because I really want to draw attention to Colt's amazing facial expression here, because that is the wide-eyed... That's a classic Colt Cabana look, isn't it? He's sort of doing the Hulk Hogan point. But that is also an expression of terror.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's both, I'm going to get you, I'm a wrestler, but also, please help me, I'm in a cult. brilliant stuff from him. Speaking of Evil Uno, did you see Evil Uno's tweet from 2 days ago?
I didn't.
He said, given the amount of cars that are now in AEW canon.
Yes.
Why can't we have AEW wacky races?
I'm all for it. Like, remember the WWF driving game Crush Hour?
Like, that was one of our first sponsors.
Yeah. This was like back in the Attitude Era times. Yeah. It was like RVD sort of era of Attitude Era. But yeah, like I would love to see them. AEW love to bring back retro things. So yeah, like a parody of Crush Hour.
Just make it an app. It doesn't have to be a full on wrestling game. I would love to play just AEW characters driving on my phone.
No, if it's on an app, then it's got to have like in-app purchases and all this sort of stuff as well. Like, you know, like that
WWE, be a whale.
They showed the advert for Battlegrounds or whatever it's called. Is it called Battlegrounds, the new WWE game?
I don't care.
But they've got like, they've already got pre-order exclusive bonuses and, you know, ultra exclusive edition bonuses to get extra characters. And when you get that super ultra collector's edition bonus packages stuff, it comes with 1,100 coins. And I'm like, oh no.
That's real money. Making money by buying it. Also, remember, get your Jam That Jam mug at restaurantmerch.com. Get in those super chats and support us on Patreon.
Thank you very much. Anyway, so I said earlier that one of the reasons why I loved this episode of Dynamite and why the reason I really, really am into AEW at the moment is I'm just invested in everyone's storyline and everyone's character. This is a really good example of that. I love this storyline of Colt Cabana and the Dark Order. I thought, you know, when it first started, I was like, it feels like a massive step down for Brody Lee going from the highs of challenging Jon Moxley for the title to, you know, working with Colt Cabana enhancement talent. But I'm so into this story. And it is down to sort of like little subtle bits of storytelling they do throughout the match. Brody Lee selling of things. And I love this new version of the Dark Order. When they're all standing in a line at the top of the ramp, it looks really cool. It took them 8 months or whatever it was in 3 attempts, but they finally got the Dark Order.
Yeah, I love them as well. And SCU were really good in this match as well. They're kind of getting lost in the storyline focus shuffle. But yeah, it's that Attitude Era genius of everyone has something to do and you get invested in all the characters as a result. And that makes the 2 hours of TV just fly by.
Yeah.
But Cabana, like Brody Lee did his discus clothesline finish on, I can't remember who actually. And then he kind of tagged in Colt and gave him the pin. Well,
It was more than that. Grayson was the legal man. So Brody Lee, I think it was Daniels. He hits Daniels with the discus lariat and then tells Grayson to tag in Colt Cabana. So there's even more layers to it. And Grayson, being the soldier that he is, tags in Colt Cabana so he can get the pin. So then Colt just sits there and gets the pin. And Grayson and Lee sort of said, hey, we all won together, didn't we?
But Colt was over the moon. Like, he was so, so happy. And that's kind of like, it's a really good telling of that being sucked into a cult fad mentality. I think they're doing really good work for what is what isn't one of their main storylines, but just a one that's bubbling underneath.
Yeah.
We got Big Swole returning and throwing the legal papers at Britt Baker. She's broken into the arena thing. She throws the papers at Britt Baker, and Baker sells it like it was a steel chair shot.
So what happened? So she threw it at Rebel, and because Rebel had her hand up. So she throws it at Rebel, and Rebel, getting hit, swings her hand back and hits Britt Baker in the face. So Rebel is selling that she's just hit her friend, and that's a bad thing. And Baker is selling it, like you said, she got hit in the face with a steel chair. And it culminates in this fantastic moment where they're screaming one way, they're screaming another way, and they look at each other and just scream in each other's face. So funny.
It was really, really good. And speaking of funny making money, Jericho versus Orange Cassidy was the main event. I doubt it would have been if Mox and Cage were on this episode. And it was really, really good. Really good.
Yeah, absolutely awesome. Loved this main event. I thought Cassidy worked really well. It was a lot of Jericho working over Cassidy, which kind of slowed down the pace of the match. But I think that almost made Cassidy's comeback feel even bigger. I thought there's some really, really good near falls and kick outs towards the end. This did feel like a pay-per-view caliber match. I thought these two worked excellently together, with Jericho picking up the win with a Judas effect reversal of a Superman punch. Yeah, I thought it was really, really great.
What I liked about it so much was that it's given Cassidy a new layer, and this whole feud has really, and this is the culmination of it, because up until now, Orange Cassidy is the comedy act. You know, even that incredible match with Pac at Revolution, it was just a comedy match at the end of the day. He's, you know, rolling back and forth. There was no, it's a very two-dimensional character. And, you know, that's not a harsh thing to say. It's quite clear that the whole gimmick is, he's a low-effort wrestler. Yeah. But here, just because he never gave up and he would only put in so much effort here. So it's not that he doesn't care or he isn't a good wrestler in kayfabe terms. It's that he's just that kind of anti-hero Han Solo-style person who does not want to get involved. He doesn't want to get involved, but when he does, he's going to get involved to the end. There was a fantastic near fall here where Aubrey Edwards is distracted by, I think Best Friends came out to attack Santana and Ortiz because they were interfering. While that's going on, behind the referee's back, Chris Jericho with Floyd the Bat hits Orange Cassidy near fall. And that was an amazing kick out. And it was like, Cassidy does care. And when he does, he's really, really tough to beat.
Yeah, and this laid a lot of groundwork for this feud to continue. And I do think this feud is going to continue through to All Out, because Jericho is after Tyson. I can't see them doing Jericho Tyson as a singles match. They might do. And I certainly don't think it's out of the realms of possibility. But I think having Jericho possibly with Sammy once he comes back against Iron Mike Tyson and Orange Cassidy as a tag team, I think could be really, really fun. And yeah, and that's when Orange Cassidy gets his win over Chris Jericho. Mm. It really, really, I think this did a lot for Orange Cassidy as well. Really made him feel big time. Like, this elevated Cassidy more than anything he's done previously, even though I would say that the Revolution match with Pac was better. But I thought this was wonderful, wonderful stuff. I really, really enjoyed it.
So yeah, I totally agree with everything you said. My one fear, and this is a fear because I love it so much, is that this is the peak of Cassidy's character.
I don't think you're wrong in that either, actually. I think those that might be you might be on the button with that one.
So in that, you know, that the joke was never going to last forever. And now that the joke has essentially evolved past a joke into the serious underpinning of it, it's now going to be very hard to continue that. Yeah. I don't know. I don't have any answers as well. But, you know, a whole wrestler's gimmick based around I'm a low effort wrestler, that isn't really a long term thing.
Yeah. No, I do agree with you on that one. But I do think it's, you know, credit to Orange Cassidy, because he still is pulling out things that I'm not expecting, particularly in this when he goes to do his low effort super kick sequence. and then actually hits out an actual super kick, which really caught me off guard. And I thought it was a really effective near fall for that. But yeah, I thought it was a really terrific match. And I'm looking forward to see what they do next. But I agree with you as well. There is a ceiling. And I hope that we have not reached peak Cassidy.
Yeah. And he's a character that works so much better in front of a crowd as well, to react to those little super kick touches. So, yeah, we'll see. I hope, you know, because he's obviously so talented, and AEW know they've got something good there. But I can't see where we go from here that's better than what we've just had. Overall, though, excellent show, as we said at the start.
Mm-hmm. 5 out of 5. Loved
it. You went 5. I went high 4.
Oh, mate. I know. I mean, there wasn't a match on the show that I didn't enjoy. Like, in some cases, loved them. Loved the opener. Loved the Lance Archer match. Loved the 8-man. Really enjoyed the Nyla Rose squash match because it then got the promo afterwards. Loved the reveal of the FTW championship. Loved the main events. Yeah, I loved this. And I loved the Dark Order stuff. So yeah, this is a total 5 out of 5 thumbs up show for me.
I guess it was just missing that really good emotional hook for me.
Yeah.
It was all really good wrestling and fun stuff, but there wasn't like, oh, that emotional bit for me.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Super chat, Matthew Robinson. Oh my god, that 8-man tag was amazing. Man, do I miss the Lucha Bros. I can already see one of the best tag championships matches in the Lucha Bros versus FTR.
It's just so many like dream matches and dream feuds you can set up with this tag division. It's nuts.
Matthew Robinson again. Wow, how can they top that Canadian Destroyer?
Well, I thought about this after the one off the top of the ladder through a table, and they somehow managed it. So basically what I've learned is never doubt Ray Phoenix.
Yeah. Noah Fortner. Cash Wheeler put up a lot of 4s in that match with the black glove nonetheless. Also, I miss crowds. It would have elevated this show so much.
Yeah, I think we all miss crowds.
Yeah, but loving those 4 Horsemen teasers. Matthew McFadden, Butcher Blade and the Lucha Bros are the team I never knew I needed until now. Their car entrance made them all look like absolute killers.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely, yeah. I really like Butcher and Blade. I think they've got a very good look to them, which helps a lot.
Matthew Robinson, what future tag team championship match would you guys like to see in the future? Well, obviously the Young Bucks versus FTR.
Yeah.
I would like to see FTR versus Hangman Page and Kenny Omega.
That's the one.
I would like to see Lucha Bros versus FTR versus the Young Bucks in a 3-way ladder match. Just all the combinations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's limitless.
Jose Rivera Valentin. FTR said the super kick was an accident because, of course, the Young Bucks are the second greatest tag team in the world on their Instagram.
Very, very good. That's very good. Because that, you know, that's totally within their character to be like, yeah, you know, they would make those sorts of mistakes as the second best tag. That's very good. On the subject of Dark Order, Cult Cabana, Gabriel Caruso, shout out to the Dark Order for throwing shade at WWE, having a doctor clear Cult for action, even though his ribs were all bruised up.
Yeah, that's what I got. Should have chucked a Z-pack in there.
Ricono says, do you think Mr. Brody will let Colt win one more match, then turn on him next week to end his 3-week push?
Now, I hope Colt joins the order properly.
Jobber JJ, Cult Cabana, Cult of Personality, CM Punk's AEW confirmed.
That was my first thought. Yeah, I think it's pretty much confirmed now.
Nate Drop Surname, as much as I like the digs at Vince, they're not digs at Vince, come on now. I can really see the mob boss inspiration in the character. I'm super into it. OC tried. The superkick was... It's blank there.
Maybe there was an emoji that was there originally. Fire. We just imagine the superkick was good. But yeah, the mob boss inspiration is definitely there.
Mm-hmm.
But so is something else.
Malcolm Brown, with Hangman getting the pin in every match, do you think Omega will resent him for stealing the limelight and turn heel? Well, I think that's what I really like about this story is that, and we've said it sort of since day one, you can see both sides of the argument, and I don't know which way it's going to go, but I can see it going both ways.
I think the only way that works now is Omega turning heel. You get the cleaner back and Hangman Page, you know, he's too cool. He won't work as a heel. He's this sort of heel, he's this tweener babyface.
Gabriel D, I know the lack of crowds might make it a bad idea, but does it feel like AEW has the roster to support a non-dark secondary broadcast show? Well, they've got one with TNT. There was one that was meant to start this year.
Yeah, you'd imagine that had been put on the back burner, though, at least indefinitely postponed.
That was what I was going to say was, yeah, they have one lined up with TNT, but I can't see them doing it until everyone's back in. You know, maybe it is just they just do dark, but like dark at the moment is just it's a series of squash matches. So they would have to kind of beef that up.
Yeah, I don't want a third AEW show.
No. Matthew Robinson, I agree with you guys last week when you said last week's show was the warm-up for Fyter Fest and this show delivered. OC and Jericho, OMG. House of Fuhrer, love to see a Janella and Jericho angle.
That could be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that.
Malcolm Brown, I'm assuming in response to the best TV match, the Iron Man match between Omega and Pac was in 2020.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
Matthew Robinson, who do you think from AEW could go to WWE for the first time and Vince would love them and push them right to the top? For me, it's Brian Cage.
Yeah, Brian Cage would be one. You know, I would have said Lance Archer, but WWE sort of rejected him quite a few times, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
Kenny Omega.
Yeah, well, I mean, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, when they were going, you know, they got WWE contract offers, they were going to get pushed right to the top of the company because it was part of the contract, essentially, was that for the next 6 months, you're our top stars. Please don't start another promotion. Gabriel Caruso, hey, quit ripping on AEW for not getting their women's division right off the bat. It took WWE a light 40 years to get it right and X amount for Impact. I don't know, Gail Kim rocks. Well, yeah, I mean, Gail, like, Impact got it right. When they started their women's division about sort of 3 years into the company, they got it right off the bat. Then it fell off a cliff a little bit. Now they've really picked it back up again. But yes, it did take WWE a good 40 years.
Shouldn't be the barometer to measure everything else by. Yeah, I'll take over if you like. Jobber JJ 496, a great suggestion by the wonderful mod mother Lady Lou. Fearless mod leader, Nyla Rose's mystery manager. Is it Sid?
It could be Sid. It is always going to be Sid.
Anthony Pride, do you think Sammy will come back as a face?
No, I'd imagine he'll still be part of the Dark Order.
Or you mean...
The Inner Circle even. A lot of factions. A lot of spooky factions.
Brett Klaxik. Two things. One, so Orange Cassidy is Ash's Charizard from the first season of Pokemon, only performing hard when he wants.
Deep cut.
And again, number two, I think there's a story with the best friends trying to get Cassidy to care more to win, but he refuses, and it extends till he flares up again.
Hmm.
Which, I know that's... Yeah, that's probably the story to tell, but it's just a repeat of what we've seen, really. So,
yeah.
I don't know how you make that work. Christopher Jazzcat, loving the Colt storyline and Hangman storyline, respectively. Colt getting pushed to wrestle Hurt was a nice, subtle angle. Jam.
And I'll tell you how subtle a storyline it was. I did not pick up on it. Clearly I'm thick and I didn't pick up on the subtleties of it. But I'm so glad. That's why I like doing this show. You guys are here to sort of point out the bits that I miss.
Yeah, I mean, they had a medic and they showed his giant bruised body. And Lee said, you should wrestle.
I get all that. I just didn't pick up on it being a reference.
It's because it's not a character based on Vince McMahon.
There it is. That's why I didn't pick up on it.
OGP, Dadon bask in my glory. Page owned Private Party. Owed Private Party $12. Continuity, LOL.
There it is.
From the bar.
He did owe them $12 for that drink.
Wrestling misc. Pacer Dawn, when are we going to see a women's mid-card belt in one of these major promotions?
When they've got a division that can support it, I guess. Like, and you've, I mean, like WWE, in theory, has got the ability to have a stacked women's division that would require a mid-card title. But it's, yeah, they're not really... It took them this long to get the women's tag titles into an actual sort of storyline that people cared about. So I just don't think introducing another belt is going to help those matters.
I would argue the tag team belts are the mid-card titles there.
Yeah.
Plus, they've got four championships overall. Raw, SmackDown, NXT. I guess you could count NXT UK as well. So, mm-hmm. WrestleTalk, Miss Moore, Malloy the Bear, 12. If you two are familiar with the Fab Five of Queer Eye, my girlfriend wants to know who is your favorite. It's tough. Hers is Anthony. She wouldn't listen to WrestleTalk unless I asked.
I mean, I've been an Anthony stan since day one because A, he is the most handsome. B, he's got the best voice. And C, he's so lovely. But in this latest season and the last couple of seasons, really, he has been quite pants at cooking. It's been like, hey, I'm going to show you how to make a salad. Have you ever made a salad before? It's not been particularly great. So really, and we talked about this in the podcast. It's Bobby.
It's Bobby. Yeah. He does all the work. Everyone's like, oh, I got you a new jacket. Here's a salad. I'm going to cut your hair for you. And Bobby's there like, I built you a new house. And I still turn up in these little life moments and manage to be really poignant at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
What a life that guy has had. Incredible.
I was gonna say, not only does he do all the Bobby stuff, he also helps out with the Karamo stuff.
Yeah. Nate drops surname. Put your money where your mouth is, Davis. Predictions. Predictions loser does a coffin drop from that height. LOL. Well, if it was, if we could, coronavirus is stopping all these sorts of things too. I can't, unfortunately. Michael Dominguez. Didn't someone buy Andy a bunny for the WrestleTalk office?
No.
No, because Michael asked us this on the Raw stream.
Yes.
No, I don't know where you got that from.
No, we bought him crisps and ball cream.
Kevin, I just wanted to say that the I quit Destino pun on Tuesday was the best pun I've ever heard.
People really enjoyed that joke, man.
I thought the cornier one was better.
Oh, but yeah, I mean, people very much enjoyed the cornier one as well, but it was, I think you nailed it.
The Destino one was an ad lib. I didn't write that bit. I was just like, I was pausing for too long. I thought. And thank you, Dylan Cork, for a super chat, but no message. And of course, I love to Ashleen as well. Hopefully she's watching. Well, thank you ever so much, everyone, for joining us here today for a cracking episode of AEW. And stick around because we'll have NXT up later on, where Adam and Laurie will be reviewing the greatest of American bashes. They're going to bash so hard.
Super chat's just come through. Cassidy should have won. Jericho unraveling last week was brilliant. And to see it continue after the loss would have been very entertaining.
Mm, yes, rightly so. But I think Jericho was the right winner.
What you got lined up for the weekend?
Well, my weekend starts early because I have now completed the Darker Side of the Moon challenge on Super Mario Odyssey. I'm taking Friday off. I'm going to go round my friend's house and play video games.
But who's going to do the news?
Pete's doing the news.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Of course, Pete's doing it.
Make news, Pete. And on Saturday, so this was meant to be my friend's stag party weekend. I always had this Friday and Monday off, actually. We were going to go to up in Scotland and do some stuff. But that's all obviously been cancelled and postponed, as has his wedding, which is a shame. So instead, we're going to go for a bike ride round Croydon.
Nice. Oh. Very nice. A bike
Six
ride
bloody
round
lads.
Croydon. Six bloody
Six
lads.
Six bloody lads. On socially bloody distancing bikes. On bikes. Stopping into a pub, having one, because we don't want to get too drunk on our bikes, and likely having a coffee in a cafe. Lads, lads, lads. Safe, safe, safe.
Nice.
What about you?
I am actually also having a bit of a lad's time. I'm going to see some of my friends this weekend. First time I'll have seen them in ages, and their babies, because we've not met them yet because they were both born during lockdown.
Oh my God, it's been so long. Your friends have had babies.
It is, yes.
That's how long lockdown's been.
So I'm also being such a bloody lad, driving all the way over to Kent.
And no, then, babies aren't lads.
And then sitting down.
As you say babies, no, it's not lads anymore.
Having a squash and holding a baby, socially distancing, which means I probably won't hold the baby. I'll just have to look at the baby from afar and wave at it. But I get to see two babies this weekend, which is great. It's great news.
Do you like babies?
Babies are brilliant.
Do you sort of go doe-eyed and, oh, look at the baby?
Oh, very much so. Babies are wicked, man. How could you not like babies?
What's your go-to move to impress a baby? Is it a funny face? Is it a fart noise?
It's my YouTube face. You've seen my... Yeah, exactly. I used to do lots of YouTube faces at them. That's why kids click on YouTube videos that have those faces.
Yeah, kids and Andy Datson, who keeps on clicking the Good Mythical Morning thumbnails.
Yeah, he does. I felt like I was starting to ruin our YouTube algorithm because after our, bringing back...
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
After bringing that back... I went on a bit of I just fell into a rabbit hole of listening to old Adam and Joe clips. Oh, and that's why I messaged Ollie and I was like, I miss this podcast so much.
Have you listened to the audiobook of Adam Buxton's, because my friend has, he says it's very good.
Yeah, I've not yet. My brother has ordered it and he was going to give me his login. Because, while I am interested in hearing the book as well, what I really want to just hear is the Adam and Joe podcast that's at the end of it, the bonus podcast. That's what I really want to listen to outright. And then I'll actually listen to the book bits itself. But likewise, I've also heard that it's very, very good.
Have we had any submissions for all the new segments we tried to start on Tuesday's episode?
I mean, I was trying to think what the other one was, because obviously there was the bad acting.
It was the Japandi.
That was it. Yeah, no one's done that one. No one bit for that one. We did get some submissions in for the bad acting. However, I don't think a lot of people really understood it, because what I got sent was people like wrestlers making funny noises, which, you know, I'm all for. And someone sending in a clip of themselves from a wrestling show reacting to the reveal of the Universal Championship, which again is not really what we were going for. So
I'm amazed it's been interpreted this way.
So we
were quite clear.
Someone did email in their one, which was quite a famous one. In fact, actually, I'll try and see if I can get it into the podcast bit now. If you can just fill for time while I save the video.
Well, I like the sound of stupid noises that wrestlers make. The one that jumps to my mind initially is Brock Lesnar's
not the Undertaker one that I played you.
Well, yes, the Undertaker one is also good. Are there any? I'm sure there's loads.
Oh, yeah, there's probably absolutely loads. But I now have got the submission for bad acting that we have had in from Michael. And it sounds a little bit... Come on, load. You're only a short clip. Oh, I jumped the gun, David. Here it is. Here it is.
I could have filled for longer.
Here it is.
My husband is having an affair with your wife. I don't think we should talk about it. There's your pet. Kill them.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, God.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
So, yes, thank you very much to Michael for sending that one in. And someone sent
What's
in
that
like
from?
I've no idea. They don't give any context for it. They just said this is the worst.
Oh wow. Let me just Google. Oh god. Oh man. Oh god. Oh man. Someone has previously Googled Oh God, Oh Man, Oh God, Oh Man movie.
I think it is a very famous bad movie clip. It's a bit like, you know, the Troll 2. Oh my God. Like more people have seen that clip than they actually have Troll 2. Or, you know, Garbage Day from Silent Night, Deadly Night 2.
That's my favorite. So according to my very brief Google, it actually comes up quite a lot. It's from the film Tough Guys Don't Dance. And it is actually known. In the Wikipedia description itself, it says there is a scene known as the Oh God, Oh Man scene.
So I think
it's
a murder
mystery film noir.
I think we should also, you know, specify the sort of clips that we want from this. It's not just bad readings of lines. It's not just the oh my god or the garbage days. I think garbage day is a better example of this than oh my god, because it's overacting to the nth degree.
Yes.
The great thing about that Taffin clip is that he did not need to yell, then maybe you shouldn't be living here, but that's the choice he made.
Yeah, it's like, it's not bad acting, it's too confident acting that we're looking for. I think we're doing that thing we did with Crap Gimmick Wrestling, where we've come up with an idea, and now we are trying to make it as specific as possible. And we get angry at people who aren't on board.
And in making it too specific, we've made it too complicated and no one really knows what it is anymore.
Well, let's see what happens on next week's show. Hopefully we've got some submissions. Support at WrestleTalk.com.
Exactly. Support at WrestleTalk.com. Get it in. Thank you very, very much. The NXT review is also up. Go and check that out with Laurie and Adam Blompier. And I'll be back tomorrow with the magazine show with SP3 from True Heel Heat. And Saturday, we'll see Pete and Andy doing SmackDown. And then we'll be back on Raw with, us, the good hosts. Take care, everyone. I love you. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.